We are mostly live and completely local. This is Metro South Podcasting.
Welcome to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us and how it affects us here on the South Shore of Massachusetts. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. That's me. Presumptuous of myself, but yet it is that. I should have named the show something that wasn't so presumptuous, like Barney's Big Farm. Could have done that. Discussed farm animals for an hour, which I could do, actually. It was my dissertation in college. It was. Anyway, welcome to the program. My name is Ron Van Dam. I do this podcast. If you're not familiar with who I am and what I do, it's all you need to know. Nothing else personal involved. You don't need my medical records in order to listen to this program, although I'm quite healthy, I think. My doctor doesn't seem to think so. Every time something happens, they throw a disease on me. Doctor, I've got a little pain in my shoulder every once in a while. Oh, you've got shoulder fasciitis, and that can lead to diabetes, and you could have blood clots, and, you know, seriously, stop it. Just stop it. I was bitten by a mosquito, that's all. Will you stop it? Well, you've got the mosquito genitis, which could cause, that could travel throughout your body and become a problem, and your feet could fall off on Tuesday, and stop, just stop it, stop it, stop it. I don't think I want to know everything like that. I don't want to know. I remember I was watching some type of fakakta, which is a real word, by the way, in some place. It was something where they told you that in your eyelashes there were little microbiotic worms, and they weren't even macrobiotic. I don't think they were. They were just freaking worms, and they go through your eyelash. They live in your eyelashes and in your eyebrows, and. Oh, man, for a month, I was like, I couldn't blink. It was like, whoa. Yeah, they're in everybody's eyelashes are these little worms. There are little worlds of animals that are living on your body 24/7. And they're not bad for you or anything. They're just kind of like camping out or something like that. I really don't know. Maybe they're trying to cross the border. I don't know what's going on. But that frightened me, just the knowledge. I can go through my daily life and not really care about anything. But as soon as you tell me, Ron, did you know that you had like animals and little worms and little mites living in your eyelashes and in your eyebrows? The world becomes different all of a sudden. You know, just that knowledge. And that's all true, by the way. And then, oh my God, then they did a thing on pillows and sheets and beds. And that there are these, there's an entire colony of these things, like, and they're okay, they're not horrible, unless they're bed bugs or something like that, and I don't know the difference between a bed bug and a couch bug and a chair bug, I really don't really know, I guess they just live in different places, and then you put, like, the word bug after it, I suppose. But these are like living in your on your pillowcase, and it now I got to wash my pillowcase every 10 minutes. I mean, it takes me like 2 hours to run through the washing cycle. Whew. Now I've got like 30 pairs of sheets. I change it after every dream. You know what I'm saying? It's just an awful. I don't want to know all this stuff. Too much knowledge is not good. I've said this before. As I've said everything before, if you'd listened to the show, I've been doing this for 25 years, since I was a fetus. I came right out of my mother's womb, they handed me a microphone, and I did an hour. Commercial free. Anyway, yeah, as I've always said, knowledge is a mind is a terrible thing to fill up. It's, I sometimes wish I was vapid. And a lot of people say, Ron, don't worry about it. You're pretty close to your goal. Vapid is wonderful. You don't understand anything that's going on. Everything that's going on around you doesn't affect you because you don't know what the hell it is. You can't put two and two together. What a wonderful life that would be. Just to go through life and not be affected by anything. Like you're a moron. I don't understand what moron means. I'm sorry. That's fantastic. What a wonderful luxury that would be. But I don't have it. I have the opposite. I know too much. I'm too observant. I'm too analytical. Because I've been doing this thing for decades, thousands of pieces of information have bombarded my brain. A lot of them have been forgotten, but if you bring them up, I'll remember them. So they're in there somewhere. They're just like floating around like a snow globe and around Christmas. You know, one of those things you shake and the snow goes all over the place inside the globe. That's my brain. That's what it's like in there. It's a nice little setting. There's a little village in my brain, in my head. And then if I shake my head, all that stuff just goes floating around and I don't know anything until it all settles again. That would be wonderful too. I'd take that, but I can't even get that. I had to read newspapers for like decades so that when people called me, when I was doing the radio stuff, people called me up. I had to sound somewhat intelligent about everything. So I had to read all these newspapers and I just really knew too much. And if something was like some guy would like beat up his wife somewhere in Roxbury, and I'd be affected by it because I'd read the story about it. Now, I know you're not supposed to beat up your wife, and your wife isn't supposed to beat up your husband, and there's not supposed to be domestic violence, and everybody's supposed to get along. That's not the way it really happens. And when it doesn't happen the right way, I have to know about it. Now, fortunately, I'm not doing that terrestrial radio thing anymore. I mean, been there, done that. You know, enough is enough. And everything's leaning away from that anyway. So I don't have to read every single paper, know every single thing, because I don't take phone calls on this show. Thank God. I never kind of liked that part of it. So I don't have to appear to be that intelligent. I can come off as an asshole and still do this. As a matter of fact, it seems the more of an asshole you are, the better radio show you get to do. But I can't quite get to that on that asshole meter. I can't get to the other side, so I kind of play in between. But people like me, and I don't know why, because I'm really kind of not likable. And everybody I meet, pretty much the same thing. So, hi. You know what the funny thing is about this? I can sit here for like 7 hours and do this thing straight through and not even blink an eyelash with bugs in them. But if I go to a party or something, because I get invited to a lot of parties because they think I'm really gregarious. I'm not. I'm so much not. If you invited me to a party, you would find me standing in the corner by myself because I'm not that way. I'm not good at back and forth conversation. I have to constantly think of things to keep the conversation going. I'm most comfortable with people that understand that you don't have to talk every second, that to be with somebody or to engage somebody in conversation, you don't have to talk every second of it. But people get uncomfortable when not a word is being spoken because they think, oh, this person isn't comfortable with me or whatever the case may be. And sometimes that's true. But this fast-paced conversation back and forth just like doesn't happen unless you're in an argument or something like that. But otherwise, it's not natural. And I don't like small talk. Oh, the weather's been cold. Oh, yes, it's cold, isn't it? Oh, yes, it is cold. How about that weather? Oh, that's cold. And how about the weather? Oh, it's cold. And how about that weather? It is cold. Cold enough for you? No. You should be shoving me into a freezer, and then I might say it's cold enough for me. Let's have a sweater. How about that weather, huh? Yeah, how about that weather? Cold enough for you? How about that weather? I can go on and on and on. It's not for me. It's not for me. It's not for me. It's not for me. This is, by the way, in case you have no calendar, this is Monday, October 27th. Monday, October 27th. And we're getting closer to the Halloween-y thing. I was watching Fox News, and I don't know why I was. I do it every once in a while just to get a laugh, because at any time you turn into Fox News, no matter what is on their 24-hour station, they always say something really, really stupid. And this time it was Steve Doocy's son, Peter Doocy, is a reporter for Fox News. It's the Doocy family, ladies and gentlemen. You tell me if that family and if all the kids and the father and the mother, well, not the mother, she married into that name. You tell me if they didn't go to junior high school and kind of were not kidded about their name. Hey, Doocy. Hey, Doocy bag. Hey, come here, Doocy. You want to go take a Doocy? Anyway, this Peter Doocy guy, he's reporting on some kind of scary haunted house location, and he starts it off. And by the way, this is a news channel, and he's a reporter, and he's standing in front of one of these haunted house fear factory things. And he starts by saying, a news reporter, he starts by saying, happy Halloween to everybody, or should I say, to be politically correct, happy harvest. And I'm saying to myself, you know, you are a douchey Doocy. You really are. I mean, offending somebody by saying Halloween. I think that refers to Christmas for religious reasons. I'm not too sure that Halloween falls into that category of having to call it something else for political reasons, you dumb schmuck. But he follows the tradition of Fox News. All right, fine, good. The weather is, how about that weather, huh? There's okay, yeah, I don't understand some things about the weather. when they say, you know, you're looking at the weather thing, and it's 63 degrees, 70 degrees, and it's going to be fair. I'm saying to myself, where did you get that term from? Fair means... That's good. You know, it's good. I mean, fair is not an exciting description of something. You know, how does she look? Is she attractive? She's fair. I'll tell you that. Yeah. How was your time yesterday? You went to the park. Did you have a good time? Yeah, it was fair. It was fair. It was all right. It was fair. Fair, you know. Was it excellent? No, it was fair. No. Was it horrible? No, it's fair. It's fair. How's your marriage going? It's fair. It's fair, I guess. It's fair. And yet, when we use that word to describe the weather, when it's beautiful outside, there's not a cloud in the sky, it's a deep blue sky and a perfect temperature, what's the weather going to be today? It's fair. It's going to be fair. It's fair. It's fair. No, it's not the right word for that. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be excellent. It's going to be beautiful. Yeah, it's fair. It's going to be fair. Fair. It's going to be fair. The weather was fair. It was fair. It's fair. It's fair. How is the judge? Well, he was fair. He was fair. Yeah, it was all right. It's fair. Got to change that description for the weather. And then there's a partly cloudy and partly sunny. The hell's the difference? What part? It's like, is the glass half empty or half full? That's partly full. It's partly empty. Yeah, both things are true. So what do you say? When there's some sun and there's some clouds, what is that? Is that partly sunny or partly cloudy? I mean, there's partial sun and there are partial clouds. Partially sunny, partially cloudy. Is it that if there's more sun than clouds, then it's partially cloudy or partially sunny? I don't even know. Are the two terms interchangeable? Do you have to go to meteorology, your meteorology school? You try saying that. Do you have to go to school to figure out which is which? Is there a partly meter? Was it partly cloudy or partly sunny yesterday? I don't know. It's fair. It's fair. It's fair. Not a big deal. It's fair. And then the temperatures start to throw me as well. It's 60 degrees outside. Oh, okay, thank you. Wait a minute. It's 60 degrees outside, but it's going to feel like it's 65. What is it then? Is it 60 or 65? Well, you're partly right. That's fair. It's a fair question. The temperature specifically reading on the instrumentation is 60 degrees. But because it could be 65. It's used actually more in the colder sense, where if there's a breeze, it will knock the temperature down. So usually when it's like, let's go to, what's temperature today? It's 40 degrees outside, but it's going to feel like it's 20. Why? Well, because there's a stiff wind and it makes it colder. So what is it? Is it like 40 or is it 20? Well, it's 40, but it's going to feel like it's 20. Well, then why are you telling me it's 40? How is that helping me put a coat on or not? Well, that's why I'm telling you it's what it feels like. I only care about what it feels like. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it says on the stupid thing, on the reading the thermometer thing. I don't care about that. What's it going to feel like is what I'm concerned about. Well, you're partly right and you're partly not. That's like saying to somebody, hey, how you feeling? I'm feeling great. Really? Well, I have a cold, actually, so no, I'm not. Well, I'm confused then. Well, if I didn't have the cold, I'd be feeling great. Oh, I see. So it'd be 40 outside, but if there wasn't a wind, it was 20, it'd feel like a 20. If there wasn't a wind, it'd be 40. That's right. And you're feeling fine. You have a cold, so you're not feeling fine, but if you didn't have a cold, then you'd be fine. That's right. So how do you answer the question? How are you feeling? You say, I'm not feeling good. I have a cold. That's the 20 degree part. But if I didn't have a cold, I'd be feeling fine. That's the 40 degree part. So in other words, the 40 degree part, I don't care about. I don't care about what it's reading, what it could be. I only care about what it is. You have a cold. You're not feeling good. It feels like 20 degrees outside. That's what's important to me. Because the only reason that I listen to the weather, temperature-wise, is to whether I should wear a freaking jacket or not. That's all I care about. And, of course, the best barometer of what it's like outside is to, like, open a freaking window yourself, unless you're living in a jail cell and you don't have any windows to the yard. Then you know pretty much you got to listen to the weather. But otherwise, just freaking stand outside or open a window and figure it out for yourself. These weather people are not important unless they're forecasting things. They're forecasters. They will tell your future. Your deceased mother, her first name begins with an M. These are forecasters. They tell you about things that haven't happened yet. But they see it, they foresee it in the future. And they read all these charts and they look at wind currents and things like that. And from there, they can devise a forecast of your future. Be careful going outside tomorrow. I feel it shall rain. I feel it shall rain. I'm seeing a rain cloud. It'll be partly cloudy. I'm seeing partly cloudy. And what are my chances of getting wet? Well, that's fair. It's fair. They're forecasters. They wear turbans and have little crystal balls, a couple of them. And they forecast the future in the weather. This weekend, I see rain in your future. Oh, no. Yes, I see rain in your future. Beware of rain. It could get you all wet. That's the other thing that I find phenomenal, is that when it rains outside and things get all wet, people go nuts as if they're going to die. You ever see people like, it's the water, man. Do you take a shower? Because a shower is more concentrated than rain could be. As a matter of fact, when it's raining lightly outside, we actually call it a shower. That's what we call it. It's what you take every day, and you really should, seriously, because you stink. But that we call that a shower, and we relate it to the weather outside as well. But it's funny to watch people like running for their lives from the front of the store to their car. I'm going to get wet. The clothes I have on are going to get moist. And we get embarrassed about it too. You know, we walk into places and we're soaking wet from the rain, and people turn around basically to see if you're wearing a bra or not. It's about the only good thing about the rain. But beyond that, and then, you know, you say, I'm just perspiring, that's all. It's not rain, it's just wetness. We're embarrassed about being wet. We don't want to be wet in our clothes. We'll be wet in our skin. We don't want to be wet in our clothes. I mean, do people think that you've pissed yourself from head to toe? Is that what you're concerned about? There's nothing wrong with getting wet in the rain. As a matter of fact, it's a very cleansing thing, and I'm surprised that people are not like just saying, oh, it's raining outside. Come on, let's go outside and get all wet. Because that's what you do anyway in the shower. It's not a big deal. And guess what? All that wetness, it will dry. Oh, but Ron, if you sit around in wet clothes, you're going to catch a cold. Oh, I see. Yeah. If I sit in an airplane with a person, I'm going to catch Ebola. I mean, like, yeah, you will, actually. Oh, well, here's a funny story. My weather conversation has ended. Thank you so much. I'll be appearing at the Globe Theater Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 p.m. Tip your bartender and waitress. I was watching the financial news, and I don't know why. It just kind of happened. And there, these hazmat suit manufacturers, the stocks are going through the roof. You want to invest in something, ladies and gentlemen? Are you an investor? Find a company that manufactures hazmat suits. You know what they are, because of this Ebola fear thing. All these places are buying the hazmat suits just in case they need them, and they're buying tons of them. And there's not a lot of hazmat manufacturers. It's not like you're sitting there in high school, and the guidance counselor says, "What do you want to do with your life?" Well, to be honest with you, I love to manufacture hazmat suits. I don't know why, but I'm forecasting the future. If I can forecast the weather, I'll forecast the hazmat suits. Seriously. Get into it, man. Get into it, keep it for about a week, and then sell your stocks. You'll be a millionaire. Yeah, I'm just saying. Of course, you have to be a millionaire first to put that much money into it to be a millionaire more. But if you put $20 into it, you might walk away with maybe $120. I mean, I don't know if that's going to put you over the millionaire border level or not. Probably not. Probably not. Speaking of hazmat suits, why were you talking about that? Let's talk about the hospital infections. Because I am scared to be in the hospital. Because I might get infected by something, you know, like, that's where you pick up infections. So, actually I talked to a person, actually they're here right now. This is through the magic of whatever. Let's find out about the hospital infections here. It's a problem. And I say hello to Heather McLarney. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure being had. That didn't sound right. We're talking today. It's International Infection Prevention Week. Now, what do we mean by infection per se?
Right. So the focus really of International Infection Prevention Week is to raise awareness of the potential for people to get what's called a health care-associated infections. So that's really when you go into the hospital to be treated for something else, and you end up, while you're there, getting an infection, which affects about one in every 25 patients.
Okay. That is personally my greatest fear of going into a hospital ever at all. Is that a possibility? Why is the percentage so? I mean, one out of 25 isn't horrible, but it's not good still. Why is it so high?
There's lots of different reasons. Overprescribing antibiotics and some different things. But the good news is that one of the easiest and most effective ways to reduce that number is simply through proper hand hygiene, using alcohol-based hand sanitizer or soap and water frequently and when you should, both among the hospital staff as well as patients and their families and visitors that come to see them in the hospital.
Okay, so it's okay for a patient in a hospital bed to have hand sanitizer with them?
Absolutely, and a lot of times, we see that right there at the bedside that the hospitals provide, because, we're all part of the, even if you're a patient, you don't want to be transmitting germs, around the environment or to healthcare workers or to other patients. So, everyone plays a part, certainly.
All right. It seems like hand sanitizer is kind of like a new thing where it wasn't really around like 10 years ago. Is that true, or I just didn't know about it?
Yeah, I think the standard for a long time was soap and water, but obviously that takes a lot more time. Uh-huh. And in the developing countries where, there's not always access to running water, a while back, the World Health Organization and then also the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention here in the U.S. Right. started saying, you can use soap and water when your hands are visibly soiled, but it's okay to use alcohol-based sanitizer as well.
All right. Now, let's say I'm going into the hospital for any reason, or I'm actually a patient. What should I keep my eyes open for?
Right. Well, the World Health Organization advocates five different moments when people should be cleaning their hands, and this is a little more specific to staff, but something you can watch for and obviously make sure that you're speaking up at these opportunities. So it's before and after touching a patient, before what's called aseptic tasks, so things like inserting an IV or a catheter or giving a patient medication, after exposure to body fluid, and then after touching anything in the environment, the bed rail, the curtain, those kinds of things in the room as well.
So I don't look like a real nasty person if I say to the nurse, could you put some sanitizer on before you do the IV, or a doctor comes to shake my hand and I say, well, I'd really rather not. I mean, is that cool for me to do?
It is. I think as long as everyone's polite and respectful, sometimes hospitals even encourage it. It's interesting that you brought the handshake, because it's been in the news a lot lately that where hospitals are actually thinking about getting rid of the handshake in the healthcare environment and doing like a fist bump or elbow bump or some alternative to reduce the spread of infections. So
that's weird. How about just nodding the head?
In the orient. Like to do a bow.
Bow, nod the head. They got it going. And they really need to do that, too. All right.
Right.
Fist bump. That's so 60s. High five.
that's right.
That's awful. Okay. What are the five moments for hand hygiene provided by the World Health Organization? Are there actually five? Did we go through them?
Yeah, those are the ones we just went through. Right. Those will keep you safer than just before and after patient care. That only captures about 50% of all opportunities, which is kind of really when, most staff will do it as they're walking in and out of the room, but it's really, in the course of care, those are the important ones.
I had heard some health expert on television or something. They were talking about Ebola because everybody's going, oh, no. But they actually mentioned hand sanitizer in regards to Ebola talk, and I guess that even helps with that.
Right. You know, hand sanitizer, as long as it's alcohol-based and typically, you know, a minimum of 70% alcohol, will be effective on viruses. The one area where hand washing is encouraged over sanitizer is typically for an organism called C. diff. Yeah. And that is because that germ actually has a hard spore where the alcohol doesn't penetrate, so you need to wash your hands. But, you know, and so that's when a healthcare worker would choose soap and water over sanitizer, or if their hands are visibly soiled.
Okay. So I'm going to be all right if I go in the hospital. It's like getting better is what you're saying, right?
Right. It is improving. I mean, it used to be 1 in 20 patients, and the latest research shows that it's 1 in 25. It also went from 98,000 preventable deaths a year down to about 75. So it is getting better, but again, it's something we all need to be vigilant about all the time. So.
Okay. And of course, getting an infection in a hospital can be fatal, not always, but you know, you don't want to play with that stuff. So I'm not going to go in a hospital. I'm going to wait in the hospital until it's like 1 out of 100 people that get it. Then I can take my chances are a little, it rounds it out better for me. Heather, thank you so much.
Right.
You're with DebMed, I understand.
I'm with DebMed, and we also have a cleanhandsforhealth.com website that's for patients and their family to learn more.
Okay, so then go to DebMed.com, DebMed.com for that information. And the other site that you just mentioned?
Is Clean Hands for Health.
Wonderful. Heather, thank you so much. I won't shake your hand if you don't mind.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What have we learned today? I think the bottom line is don't touch people. Don't have sex anymore. Don't shake anybody's hand. Don't eat food that was prepared by somebody else. Make sure all your glasses are sterilized. In fact, buy new glasses. Make sure those glasses were packaged by people in hazmat suits. What else have we learned today? Do you want to actually take a risk of enjoying a sexual encounter? Because you don't know where that person's been. Should you require a computerized record of their past sexual experiences? Have you ever had a sexual disease? Do you touch your eyelashes continually? It's your responsibility to make sure that you remain clean. Use hand sanitizer not only on your hands, but on your face. Use hand sanitizer on your face, and use face sanitizer on your legs, and use leg sanitizer on your feet. Don't ever go bowling because someone else wore those shoes. And somebody else stuck their fingers in those balls.
One man, one microphone, 1 hour, so many random thoughts. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
You know what sucks? Well, of course you do. You know what sucks as far as what I'm talking about? That's fair. That was fair to say. That's fair. I greatly, greatly despise politics and political conversation. And I know how important it is to be represented properly in government. I'm not too sure what government is anymore. The older I get, the more skeptical I become of the entire concept. Understanding that you need it and anarchy would be like really dangerous and scarier. I get that. But I'm so concerned about what our political system has turned into and what that is, and no one can argue this point with me, I really don't think you can, is that politics, as this country goes, is all who's got the most money. Not that the politicians have to have tons of cash, although it certainly does help, and maybe they actually do, or the ability to raise funds accordingly, but it takes a wad of cash to run a successful campaign on any level. And when you get to higher levels, and even local levels, you get companies that start to back candidates because candidates will make their companies flourish in their society. So it behooves companies to politically make sure that that person gets into office so we can get the sweet deals, so we can maintain our business structure. We don't want any problems. We don't want anything affecting our business. This politician's going to take care of us. We know him. We know her. They're going to take care of us. The problem in this country is that companies have become people. Companies have the same rights as people have rights. And that's true. You can't have a third political party in this country. Why? Because all the money is behind the Democrat or the Republican. Those two parties have the money. They have the structure. There's nothing else that can come close or even threaten those powerhouse conglomerates of political strength. And yet the independents or the independent parties actually tend to represent the American public better than a Republican or a Democrat. And the Democrats and the Republicans probably agree on one thing, and probably the only thing that they agree on, is that the strength of an independent party would kill their parties, because it will take base and foundation away from them and go to the independent party. So they make damn sure the independent party doesn't work. Both of them gang up on the independent party. Independents who run for things are usually doing it on stupid platforms like, well, I want to save the trees. Did you know that the Mongolian fish egg is starting to go extinct? And that's really what I'm talking about as a candidate for president. They tend to choose just tiny little narrow causes and run with that. And it doesn't help. And I just think it's sad, because when this country was put together, we had a number of parties. We had the Whig Party, which I really would have loved, because I'm losing my hair. I would have joined that party in a second. You serious? Whig Party? You bet. Got it, baby. Most women I know would have joined that party, too. Where there's a Whig Party? Where? Is it next to the Tupperware Party? There are all kinds of parties. And it's just a shame that we don't have an independent party, a strong independent party. They don't even let the independent parties take place in the debates. It's just the Republicans and the Democrats. They don't even bother with other parties. And yet the American public pretty much calls themselves independents. kind of makes no sense. And when the country is politically warring itself backwards and forwards, if there's a Democratic president, Republicans in Congress will make sure that that president fails, and thus your country fails. And when there's a Republican president, same deal. The parties want to see the other parties fail. How is that a formula for a strong country that's efficient and fair? Fair. Not partly cloudy, but fair. Well, the formula isn't good. And it's just a shame that there's only two parties and that's all that's really allowed business-wise. It's a pity. Oh, what a lead-in. Ron, you are so smooth. By the way, this is a 7-minute song. If you have to go to the bathroom or something, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to play the whole thing. But it is a pity. It's a pity this song is 7 minutes long. I mean, it's a good song, but no reason it has to be 7 minutes long. That's a pity. You know, it's very infrequent that I go to a restaurant that so much sucks, but I went to one on Saturday night, and it so much sucked. It was a Japanese restaurant, and Japanese restaurants are just cropping up all over the place. Some of them are doing well, some of them not at all. There is one, and I'm not going to mention the names of these places, and I haven't been to this particular one. There's one in Stoughton. It's at Stoughton Theater. There, have you been to Stoughton, Massachusetts? Of course, those of you who are listening to us in England don't know what the hell I'm talking about. There's a little town in southeastern Massachusetts called Stoughton, and there's a theater that's been there like for a decade, and it hasn't been opened. It needs repair, and they have to raise money and all that. So there's this big resurgence, as there are in many towns and cities in these great United States, to make the downtown better. I mean, they struggle to make it better. And Kitty Corner, I don't know what Kitty Corner is, actually. There's a kitty on the corner, I have no idea. On the corner, across the street from this theater, or to the side of it, is a Japanese restaurant. And I pass this thing maybe 2 times a week for various reasons, and I just look in, and every single time I pass this place, there's not one person in it, not one. Nobody's standing there for takeout, nobody's sitting there and eating, and you see this lovely Japanese server sitting in a chair playing with her cell phone because there's just absolutely nothing to do. And I don't know how long this place is going to be open. If you live in that area, go over there. I mean, the food could be wonderful, but there's just like nobody ever there. Maybe it's just when I happen to pass by, there's nobody there. But, I mean, the odds are, if I passed by 5 times, there would have been like one time where one person was taking out a noodle or something. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, these little Japanese places are opening up all, and I think it's wonderful. I think Japanese food is wonderful. I love ethnic food all over the place. I'm sick of hamburgers and bar pizzas and all that kind of crap. I mean, you know, seriously, let's open up our horizons to the various cultures of food and enjoy. I mean, it's one of the joys of our lives is to eat and to experience and taste. And so I think that's wonderful. So I went to a place in Norwood, Massachusetts. And it was a Japanese restaurant. And there's quite a few of them there. And just everything was wrong. Everything was wrong. I ordered a bento box. Do you know what that is? It's a plate, and it's got like five different compartments in it. It's kind of cool. It's like a little Japanese buffet in front of your face. And in one of the compartments is the sticky rice. Another compartment is that sauce that you dip things into. Another compartment is what they call tempura, where they take vegetables and they deep fry them with batter. And there's about five pieces of that. And there's about four pieces of sushi. And then I ordered the chicken teriyaki. And there were strips of the chicken teriyaki in another compartment. And then in another compartment I don't know what you call them. It's dumplings kind of things. You know what I mean? Dumplings, you know. You know, you dip those into the sauces. And then a separate little bowl of sauce as well. And it comes with miso soup. Me so happy that I'm getting that soup. And it comes with a little salad. That's a bento box, and it was like $8. So this is, I thought, whoa, this is a deal. So I'm eating this thing, and it's just like everything was like wrong. First came the miso soup, which kind of tasted like they did the dishes in it. I mean, it had a dishwater kind of taste to it. Didn't thrill Ron. And then they came out with a little salad bowl, and it had like a little Japanese dressing on it. It's kind of like a carrot kind of dressing, which is supposed to be sweet and sour, really. It was just sour. There was no sweet at all, and it was iceberg lettuce, which is, I guess, the way they all are. And then this bento box compartment plate comes out, and the chicken teriyaki had no teriyaki. I'm sorry. It wasn't chicken. It was steak teriyaki, and the steak had no teriyaki sauce on it whatsoever. It was just pieces of steak, some of them hardly cooked, gristle and fat, and I couldn't chew half the pieces. The tempura is supposed to be fairly bite-sized. It was like an entire head of broccoli, entire crown of broccoli, deep-fried, and was like... Not happy. And I complained to the owner, and he gave me a free dessert, so I guess that's cool, but free dessert doesn't make your food good. Of course, I am one person among many. Some people might line up around the block and say, I love chewy meat. I want the chewy meat, please. I want the chewy meat. That's what I want. I don't know. They also had they had little hot plates in the middle of the tables, but it wasn't a hibachi thing. And I guess you ordered something called a pot or something. It's not marijuana. It's like a pot dinner or something, and they come out with this pot of water, flavored water, I guess, broth, and they put it on this plate in front of you, and then they bring out vegetables, raw vegetables, and raw meat, thin-sliced raw meat. Good luck with that. And apparently you take it and you put it in the pot, and it cooks in the pot, and I'm saying to myself, why am I going to a Japanese restaurant to have like Irish food? This is like a boiled dinner, and I got to do it myself? But why am I going to a restaurant if I'm sitting down and you're saying, all right, what do you want to order? I'll have the meat. All right, here's some meat, and here's a pot. Throw it in the pot and eat it yourself. What? Throw it in the pot and eat it yourself? Yeah, I'm going to eat it myself, but why am I cooking it? Why am I going to a restaurant and boiling my dinner? I love the Irish people. They're very attractive, and they know how to drink. And they're nice people, and they're good religious people. But, man, I got to tell you, why do you boil everything? I mean, why do you boil your meat? I'm thinking boiling meat is probably the least attractive way of preparing food. But whatever, whatever. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, I prefer to become vapid. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. I really do. And no matter what I say, don't agree with it. Always think the opposite, because I seriously don't know what I'm talking about. Never take me seriously. Everything is sarcastic and cynical. And if I serve any purpose in your life, it's to make you think and make you realize that whatever you do for a living, thank God, it's not what Ron does. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I do wish you peace. Goodbye.